need your strength and your power to be able to preach, Lord. I don't know what everybody here needs to hear. I don't know what they're going to encounter this week. But Father, I know your Holy Spirit does. And I ask that you would help me and use me. Help me to be a willing vessel to be able to minister to your people, Father. We love you. In your precious name I pray. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, we're there in Colossians chapter number 3. And I'd like you to look down at verse number 15. I want to focus in on verse 15. The Bible says this: "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body." And notice the next 4 words. It says, "And be ye thankful." You know, this Thursday, our nation will be celebrating the holiday of Thanksgiving. And Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday. I love it. But as every year goes on, I just learn to love Thanksgiving more and to dread Christmas. And you say, well, why is that? Well, I love Christmas in the sense that we celebrate the birth of Jesus. But here's what I love about Thanksgiving. You get a wonderful meal, and you don't have to buy gifts for anybody. And in Christmas, you get an all right meal, but it's not as good as Thanksgiving. You know, because everybody puts their all into Thanksgiving. And then you have to dish out all this money to buy gifts for people, you know. So I like Thanksgiving. It's one of my favorite holidays. And this Thursday is Thanksgiving. And you know, this is a very scriptural and Christian-based holiday. The Bible uses the word thank in one way or another 135 times. And you say, well, what do you mean in one way or another? Well, it uses the word thank like it'll use it in Thanksgiving, or it'll use it in the sense of being thankful or something like that. But you'll find that T-H-A-N-K, thank, 135 different times in the Bible. And that it mentions us a lot, and it talks a lot about us being thankful. And I want to just preach for a few moments this morning on the subject of be ye thankful, or of thanksgiving. You know, just to get you in the mindset of thanksgiving. So we won't take too long this morning, hopefully. But we're going to be coming back to Colossians 3. But go with me to Colossians chapter number 1. Colossians chapter number 1. Let me show you something here. Colossians chapter number 1. I'd like to say, number 1, I'd like to talk about the directing of thankfulness. We're talking about being thankful this morning. And I want to talk about, point number 1 is this: the directing of thankfulness. The directing of thankfulness. You say, what does that mean? I'm talking about where you ought to direct your thankfulness. You know, we as humans are naturally not thankful people. We as humans are naturally unthankful people. And okay, good. I'm glad. Thank you, honey. Take care of those chairs, they're good. All right, and you know, normally we're not thankful. And oftentimes, you know, we could come to the place in our life where we even think, you know, Pastor, you know, you don't understand, Thanksgiving for me is kind of sad because I'm going through this, I'm going through that, and I don't have anything to be thankful for. But here's the honest truth. We all have something to be thankful for all the time. And I'd like to just show you a few scriptural things of the Bible, a few things in the Bible that you could be thankful, a way you could direct your thankfulness, and just some examples of things you could be thankful for. You're there in Colossians 3. I still go to Colossians 1. Colossians chapter number 1. Look at verse number 12. The first thing you could be thankful for is this. Look at what it says. Colossians 1 12. It says, "Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light." So what is that talking about? Look at verse 13. "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son." You say, I still don't understand. Look at verse 14. "In whom we have redemption through his blood." You say, I still don't get it. He gets it even more clear. Look at the last phrase of verse 14. He said, "Even the forgiveness of sins." You know, the first thing you could be thankful for this Thanksgiving is this: your salvation. Let me ask you this. Are you saved this morning? Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Could you say, I know for sure, without a shadow of a doubt, if I died today, I'd go to heaven? Could you say, I know my sins have been forgiven? And if you can say that this morning, hey, you got something to be thankful for. And that's the number one thing to be thankful for. The fact that, I love how it says in verse 14, the forgiveness of sins. The fact that your sins have been forgiven. And the fact that, you know, you don't deserve salvation. You deserve to die and go to hell. But Jesus Christ died on the cross and paid for your sins. And if you accepted Him by faith as your, you know, as taking the punishment of your sins, the Bible says, your sins have been forgiven. That's something to be thankful for. Let me give you another example. Go with me to Philippians. You're there in Colossians. Just go back to the left in your Bible. And right before the book of Colossians, you got the book of Philippians. Look at chapter number 1. Philippians chapter number 1. I said number 1, you could be thankful for your salvation. Number 2, you got to be thankful for your church. You got to be thankful for your church. Look at what it says. Philippians 1. Look at what Paul said. Philippians 1. He said, "Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ." Look what he says. to all the saints in Christ. So he's talking to Christians. A saint is a Christian, okay? It's not a picture on a candle that, you know, people light and pray to. A saint is a Christian. You've been sanctified through the blood of Jesus Christ. And he says, I'm writing to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi. So he's talking to the saints. Those are the believers. Specifically the ones in Philippi. That's the city of Philippi. You've been with us in Acts. You know, you've heard us talk about Philippi. It says, with the bishops and deacons. Those are, the word bishop is a pastor. The word bishop, pastor, elder, all used interchangeably. And the deacons, we've studied that before. That's the next level of authority there in the church. So in verse 1, he's addressing a church. He's addressing saints in a location and their bishop and their deacons. So this is a church he's talking about. And he says, and it says in verse 1, Paul and Timotheus, the servant of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at what it says in verse 3. He says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. He said, every time I remember that church in Philippi, I always just stop and thank God. You say, why? Look at verse 4. Always in every prayer of mine, for all making requests with joy, here's why, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day unto now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. You know what Paul was saying here? He was saying, every time I think of that little church in Philippi, every time I think about those saints in that city, and their bishops and their deacons, and that congregation there, I always stop and I'm thankful to God for that church. And here's what Paul was trying to say. He said, I'm thankful for the church I've been a part of. And you know, you ought to be thankful for your church. You ought to be thankful for Verity Baptist Church. You know, we say this and it sounds like we're, you know, just self-serving or something. And I apologize if it does. But you know, Verity Baptist Church, these we're not the only ones out here. But you know, these type of churches are very few and far between. The type of church that would preach the King James Bible and explain to you why we preach the King James Bible. The type of church that will teach you and preach to you the Bible and Bible substance and teach you the scriptures. Not just come up here and preach, you know, some sort of a encouraging. There's nothing wrong with an encouraging sermon. But you know, I was talking to Brother Vincent about this yesterday. We're on soul winning. Most churches, the sermon is just a motivational speech. It's just a 20-minute motivational hoorah, get you excited. And look, I'm all for motivating and I'm all for getting you excited. But along with the motivation, along with the excitement, God teach you doctrine and teach you Bible and teach you the scriptures. And there's just not many churches that do that. You know, not only that, another way that our church is very unique, I believe, is the fact that we strive hard at this church to bring a spirit of a family unity. You know, I've been to many a church where you were just a number. Where you were just a, you know, you just filled a chair. And you never talked to the pastor, never talked to the pastor's wife, never got to fellowship, never really even knew any of the other members. And in our church, we try to get away from as far away from that as possible. We want this to be a family. We want this to be a spiritual. And you just don't find that type of church. Notice Paul said, he said, I'm thankful for you. Look at verse 5. But here's why. He says, for your fellowship in the gospel. He says, because you're my friends, because we have fellowship, because we're a family in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm thankful for that. And you gotta be thankful for your church. Amen. You know, I get emails on a regular basis from people who listen to our sermons online. Just yesterday, you know, we're talking about Augie being missing in action because he's gone. You know, Augie, he's a good kid, and he's just with his family, his dad's family, for the Thanksgiving holidays. But last night he texted my wife and he said, Pastor's preaching's on YouTube. And you know, because we got our preaching on YouTube, we got our preaching online and stuff. But you know, we've got quite a few people who listen to our sermons from this church online. And we get on a regular basis, I get emails from people in different states, in different locations of California, saying, man, I wish I had a church like this to go to. Man, the church I go, you know, they just got strong in the King James. They're just not soul winning. They're just not really preaching. And they listen to our sermons online, and they email us, and it's encouraging. You know, they're like, man, you know, I wish, you know, I could be a part of that. I wish I could come there, you know, and this and that. But here's what always astounds me. People all over the country looking, and not just us, but other churches of ours, you know, saying, I wish, you know, I could go to a place that would preach the Bible, that would teach the Bible, that would love me, that would care about me. But yet people who have us in their backyard just don't appreciate it. Just take it for granted. Just, well, that's it. You know, you ought to be thankful for your church. You ought to be thankful for your salvation. You ought to be thankful for your church. Amen. Not only that, You're there in Philippians, go with me to Thessalonians. So go back past Colossians and go to 1 Thessalonians. You got Colossians right after Philippians, then you've got Thessalonians right after Colossians. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2, look at verse 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2, look at verse 13. Look what it says. We said you could be thankful for your salvation. You gotta be thankful for your church. Look at 1 Thessalonians 2:13. He says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing." So why is he thanking God? Look what he says. "Because when ye receive the word of God..." Remember when we were talking about the sermon, of the sower? How we sow the seed and you receive the seed. He said, "When ye receive the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." He says, I thank God because when I preach the word to you, you receive it. But you didn't just receive it as the word of man. You received it as it is in truth, the word of God. And he said, "It worketh effectually. It effectually worketh also in you that believe." You know, this Thanksgiving, you ought to be thankful for your salvation. You ought to be thankful for your church. But you know what else? You ought to be thankful for the Bible. You ought to be thankful for the word of God. Go with me real quickly to Luke chapter number 10. Towards the beginning of your New Testament, you got Matthew, Mark, Luke. Look at Luke chapter number 10. Look at verse 23. Luke chapter number 10, look at verse number 23. Very interesting thing that Jesus Christ says to his disciples. Look what he says. Luke chapter number 10, Matthew, Mark, Luke. Verse chapter 10, look at verse 23. It says, "And he turned him," that's talking about Jesus, "unto his disciples, and said privately," look what he says to his disciples, "Blessed are the eyes which see the things that ye see." Jesus looks at his disciples and he says, "Look, the eyes that see the things that you see, those are blessed eyes." They say, you may be asking why. Look at verse 24. "For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them." You know what Jesus Christ was saying? He's saying there have been many prophets throughout history. There have been many kings throughout history that desired to see the things and to hear the things and to know the things that you're privy to. You know, when I read that, I think of Daniel. You know that Daniel, the book of Daniel is like prophetic, towards the end of Daniel, he deals with prophecy, and it's a prophetic book. And you know, the Bible tells us that Daniel got a revelation from God, could not understand it. For 21 days, he prayed and fasted. Could you imagine not eating for 21 days? And here was the entire purpose. He wanted to understand prophecy. And yet today, we don't have to worry about, because it's been revealed for us. It's called the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's called the book of Revelation. You have, Jesus Christ was trying to tell his disciples, you have things that men in the past would have longed to have. They prayed and they fasted that God would give them the understanding. And today you have it available. He was saying, in the Old Testament, they didn't have the entire scriptures. Many times they didn't have the scriptures at all. They had the audible word of God, but that was seldom. And very few people got to hear God speak. And they just heard people talk about when they heard God speak. But he said, today, you have the words of God in your hand. You have the prophecy in your hand. You have the scriptures in your hand. You're not like Daniel and Isaiah and Jeremiah and David and these kings and these priests and these prophets who would have longed to have. You have it available. Let me ask you something. Do you do something with it? Do you pick it up and read it? I promise you, if Daniel held a King James Bible in his hand, then he could look at it and say, this is the pure, perfect, incorruptible Word of God. He would have read it. Amen. Daniel would have found time to turn off the television and get alone with God and read the Bible. Daniel would have found time to turn off the radio and turn off the video game and turn off the iPod and turn everything off and take some time and pray and read and get alone with God. Jesus Christ said there were prophets and kings who longed to see what you have. Are you thankful for it? Or do you just take it for granted? That's just sad. On Sunday morning, where'd my Bible go? Because the last time you grabbed it was when you came home from church last Sunday. You pick up your Bible, you got dust off, you take the dust off. All right, let's go to church. Now, you got to be thankful for this. Amen. You got to be thankful for your salvation. You got to be thankful for your church. You got to be thankful for the Word of God. Amen. Not only that, you're there in Luke chapter 10. Look at Luke 22. You ought to be thankful for the food you eat. Luke 22, look at verse 17. Luke chapter number 22. You know, I'm not going to take the time to do it because it takes too long, but the Bible records for us time after time after time, Jesus praying and giving thanks for His food. Let me give you some examples. Look at Luke chapter number 22, look at verse 17. This is actually the Lord's Supper. But they were having a meal at the Lord's Supper. And the Bible says in verse 17, it says, he, talking about Jesus, took the cup and gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come." And he took bread, and notice what it says, and gave thanks, and brake it, and gave unto them, saying, "This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." So there we see him in verse 17. He took the cup and gave thanks. Verse 19, he took the bread and gave thanks. Look at, you're there in Luke. Go with me to John, the very next book. John chapter number 6, look at verse 11. John chapter number 6, look at verse 11. Remember the very famous story when Jesus broke the bread and fed the 5,000? John chapter number 6, look at verse 11. Look what it says. When he was getting ready to perform this miracle, the Bible says, and Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given, look what it says, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of fishes as much as they would. So before Jesus performed this miracle and began to feed these people, he said, "Hey, let's take a moment and let's just pray and give thanks." Go with me to, you're there in John, go to the book of Acts, very next book. Acts chapter number 27. Acts chapter number 27. We find the Apostle Paul has been shipwrecked and they've been fasting for 14 days, not really on purpose, just because they haven't had, they've been saving their food because they don't know if they're going to die. God comes to Paul and says, "Hey, you're going to survive." And Paul says, "Great, we're going to survive, so let's eat." We don't have to, just try to save all of this. Look at Acts 27:35. The Bible says, "And when he had thus spoken," talking about Paul, look what it says. "He took bread and gave thanks to God." And look what it says. "In the presence of them all, and when he had broken it, he began to eat." You know that Paul was not hanging out with... At this point in the book of Acts, Paul is a prisoner. And he's been on a ship going to his prison, and he's been shipwrecked. He's with a bunch of prisoners. He's with a bunch of guards. He's not with godly people. But it's very interesting, you know, the Bible doesn't just add words in for fluff. Everything in the Bible is there for a reason. Look what it says, verse 35. "And when he had thus spoken, he took the bread and gave thanks to God." And the Bible is very clear to tell us, in the presence of them all. These people weren't Christians. They might have not understood why Paul, before he ate, bowed his head and thanked God for the meal he was going to eat. But the Bible says he did it in front of them all. You know, you ought to get in the habit of praying before you eat. And let me say this, you know, praying, you're not praying for the food, okay? Some people have this idea, "Lord, you know, we're praying for the food." You're thanking God that He provided you the food. Amen. But you ought to do it in front of people. Even you, "Well, if I do that at work, people are going to think I'm weird." Paul did it in the presence of them. In school, you ought to do it. At work, you ought to pray and thank God and take a moment to pray before you eat and thank God. Amen. And not be ashamed of it. Amen. You know, sometimes people go to restaurants. And they, you know, at home they pray before they eat. They go to a restaurant, they're kind of embarrassed, and they kind of just take the napkin and just drop it. They're picking up. "Did you say this food? Amen." "All right, let's eat." You know, don't be like that. You know, and don't make a show out of it either, but take some time to pray. And thank God for your food. Go with me to 1 Timothy. There towards the end of the New Testament. 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter number 4. 1 Timothy chapter number 4. 1 Timothy chapter number 4, look at verse number 1. 1 Timothy chapter number 4, look at verse 1. The Bible says this, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrine of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God," look what it says. He says, in latter times, you're going to become people who are, they're going to be, verse 1, he says, they're going to be preaching doctrines of devils. Do you see that? Verse 2, he says, they're going to be speaking lies and hypocrisy. He said, they're going to have their conscience seared with a hot iron. He said, well, what are they going to be teaching us? Forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats. If somebody tells you, "Well, your pastor shouldn't be married. You know, my priest is not married." You know what that tells me? They're teaching doctrines of devils. That's what the Bible says. Yep. Says if you're forbidding someone to be married, you're teaching doctrines of devil. It said forbidding to marry, if somebody tells you, you ought not eat pork. Because that's a, you know, that's a doctrine of devils. We live in the New Testament, praise God. Right? Jesus Christ came. Those old, you know, go ahead, go to Chipotle and get your carnitas and eat it up. It's fine. You know, it's clean before God. For your Thanksgiving, if you're going to do your turkey stuffed with a duck, stuffed with a chicken, stuffed with pork, whatever you do, hey, go at it. It's fine. But look what it says. Verse 2. Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats. Look what he says. Which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving. God says, hey, eat it up. Is anybody going to do that? Did I get that right? Where you get the turkey and you stuff it with a duck and you stuff it with a chicken. Is that how that works? Anybody know what I'm talking about? You guys are so low class. You know? I'm just going to eat a turkey. But anyway. But he says, you just receive it with thanksgiving. Of them which believe and know the truth. Look at verse 4. For every creature. It says, for every creature of God is good. And nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. You know what you ought to be thankful for this Thanksgiving? The fact that you ate. Well, Pastor, you don't understand. We're so broke. We've been eating rice and beans for 7 weeks. Hey, look. You ought to be thankful that you're eating something.
Some people have.
God has provided you a meal. God has provided you food. And even the poorest person in this country lives like a king compared to other places.
Amen.
You ought to be thankful for that. You ought to be thankful that God provides. And not be complaining about what it is you're eating. Going into Matthew chapter number 6. Let me show you something else about this. Matthew chapter number 6. Look at verse 31. Matthew chapter number 6. Look at verse 31. When people complain about what they have, the place they live, the clothes they wear, what God has... You know what you're really complaining about? What God has done for you. Because the Bible says in Matthew chapter number 6, if you look at verse number 31, look what it says. Bible says, therefore, take no thought... saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. Don't you know that God knows that you need food, and God knows that you need something to drink, and God knows that you need clothes? Look at verse 33. He said, take no thought. He says, I don't want you to think about this. I don't want you to worry about it. Don't worry about what you're going to eat. Don't worry about what you're going to wear. Don't worry about what you're going to drink. He says, God knows what you need. Verse 33, he says, here's what I want you to worry about. This is the only thing you need to worry about. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And then notice what he says. He says, don't worry about what you're going to eat. Don't worry about what you're going to drink. Don't worry about what you're going to wear. Worry about seeking first the kingdom of God. And then he says this, and all these things shall be added unto you.
Amen.
What are all these things in this context? Food, drink, clothing. He says, if you stop worrying about your food, stop worrying about your drink, stop worrying about your clothing, and stop worrying about seeking the kingdom of God, God will take care of the rest.
Amen.
Look at verse 34. Take therefore no thought for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. You got to be thankful for what you eat. Thankful for what God provides. Go real quickly to Psalm. Psalms 37. Look at Psalm 37. If you open up your Bible, smack down in the middle, you're more than likely following the book of Psalm. Psalm 37. Look at verse 25. Psalm 37. Look at verse 25. Psalm 37, 25. Look what it says. We're almost done with this point. I have two more points. Yeah, I gotcha. You're like, oh yeah, man, yeah. Psalm 37. Look at verse 25. Look what it says. Psalm 37, 25. Look what the psalmist said. He said, I have been young, and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He said, hey, I was young and I was old, but you know what? I've never seen the righteous forsaken. I've never seen the seed begging bread. And by the way, you know, let me say this. Some people have this idea that the Bible says there that if you're a Christian, you're never going to beg bread. But that's not true. And here, let me tell you why. Remember the story about Lazarus and the rich man? And how when Lazarus died, he was carried up to heaven, and the rich man died, and he went down to hell, and into Abraham's bosom. You remember that story? Well, the Bible says Lazarus was saved, but Lazarus was begging bread. He was eating from the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. He's begging bread. You say, well, is the Bible contradicting itself there? Well, here's what you don't understand. The Bible says, I have been young and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the Christian. Is that what it says? Yet have I not seen the believer? Is that what it says? Yet have I not seen the saint? That's not what it says. It says, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his feet begging bread. Now I understand, spiritually, we are made righteous in Jesus Christ. I understand that. But the word righteous there, the first part of that word says right. The idea there is, he's saying someone who lives right. Someone who lives righteously. Someone who does right. Someone, here's what he's trying to say, someone who seeks the kingdom of God will never be begging bread. Will never be forsaken. Now look, if you're saved, but you're living unrighteously, if you're saved, but you're wasting your money on alcohol and drugs, hey, you might be begging bread. But he says, you live right. You seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these things shall be added. It's His righteousness. You understand that? Go with me to Deuteronomy real quickly. Deuteronomy chapter number 8, towards the beginning of the Bible. You got Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. It's the fifth book of the Bible. Deuteronomy chapter number 8, look at verse 17. You got to be thankful for what God has brought. And by the way, if you're doing well, you ought to be thankful for what God has done for you. If you're making money, if you've got, man, you know, I've been blessed so much, I've got all this food, you ought to see the spread we're going to have on Thanksgiving. Hey, praise the Lord, be thankful for that. Look at Deuteronomy 8, look at verse 17. Say, why should I be thankful? I went out and I work hard and I did it all. Well, look at what the Bible says. Deuteronomy chapter number 8, look at verse 17. I love this verse. It says, and thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of my hands has gotten me this wealth. Look at verse 18. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is He that giveth thee power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant, which He sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. If you have the ability to make money, if God's made you smart, if God's made you strong, if God allowed you to wake up this morning, or wake up tomorrow morning to go to work and make money and get wealth, hey, you are allowed to do that because God allows you to. Because God gave you that breath. Because God gave you that job. Because God gave you that ability. And you ought to be thankful for it.
Amen.
You ought to be thankful for it. You ought to be thankful for your salvation. You ought to be thankful for your church. You ought to be thankful for the Bible. You ought to be thankful for what you eat, for what God provides. Go with me quickly. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. You know what else you ought to be thankful for? Do a word study of the word thank in the Bible. You know what you'll find the overwhelming thing in the New Testament that people are thankful for? Here it is. People. You ought to be thankful for people. You ought to be thankful for people. He said, what are you talking about? Look there at 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. Look at verse number 16. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. In the New Testament, you got Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians, then you got 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. Look at verse 16. Look what it says. 2 Corinthians 8:16. But thanks be to God, which put the same earnest care in the heart of Titus for you. You see that? Don't read that so quickly you miss out on it. He says, but thanks be to God. He said, here's why I'm thankful. Because God put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you. Paul is saying, I'm thankful to God because Titus... God has used Titus to care for you. You ought to be thankful for people who minister, who serve, who help you. Hey, that's what Pastor's Wife Appreciation Day was all about last week. Being thankful for someone who serves you. Being thankful for someone who cares for you. Being thankful for someone who ministers you. That's why when you guys did that Pastor's Appreciation Day back in October, you're saying, Pastor, you're not that special. You're not that great. You're not that smart. That's fine. I agree. Talk to my wife. She'll tell you all about it. But you ought to be thankful for people who minister, who serve. You ought to be thankful for people. You're there in 2 Corinthians. Go with me to Ephesians. Right after 2 Corinthians, you got the book of Galatians, Ephesians. Let's go through these verses quickly. I just want you to see how repetitive the Bible is in regards to this. Ephesians chapter number 1, look at verse 16. Ephesians 1:16. Look what it says. Cease not to give thanks for you. cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. He says, I'm thankful for you, a person. Go with me to Colossians. You're there in Ephesians? Go past the book of Philippians. Go to Colossians. Colossians chapter number 1. Look at verse 3. Colossians chapter number 1. Look at verse 3. Look what he says. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for... Look what it says. You. Go with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1. You're there in Colossians, the very next book. 1 Thessalonians chapter number... I'm sorry, 1 Thessalonians chapter number 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 3, look at verse 9. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 3, look at verse 9. Look what it says. For what thanks can we render to God again for you? Notice what he's saying. Again, he said, I'm very thankful for you. For what thanks can we render to God again for you? For all the joy wherewith we joyed for the sakes before our God. Go to, I'm sorry, I skipped one of them. Go, look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, look at verse 2. 1 Thessalonians 1, 2. Go back real quick. 1 Thessalonians 1, 2. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. We read 1 Thessalonians 3:9. Go with me to 2 Thessalonians. Next book. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 1. Look at verse 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 1. Look at verse 3. You say, Pastor, why are you making us look at all these? I just like to hear the pages of the Bible turn. I just love it. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter number 1. Look at verse 3. Look what it says. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. He said, we are bound to thank God always for you. All throughout the Bible, the most thing you find Paul thanking God for is this. People. It's individuals. He's thankful for people who are serving with him, who are ministering with him, who are in the God, in the ministry with him, who are working with him in churches and places. You ought to be thankful for people. Amen. You ought to be thankful for what people do for you. Amen. You ought to be thankful for people who minister to you. Go with me to Ephesians. Ephesians. Go back towards the left in your Bible, back, past the book of Colossians, right past the book of Philippians. Ephesians, chapter number 5. Look at verse 20. Ephesians, chapter number 5. Look at verse 20. Look what it says. Ephesians 5:20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Now, let me be honest with you, because this is a church where we preach the Bible in its context. In the context of the passage, giving thanks is not necessarily have to do with what he's going to begin to talk about in verse 22. But here's what I want you to see. Paul, through the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, is writing a verse about giving thanks always for all things unto God. And it almost seems like he's thinking in his head, while I'm on the subject of giving thanks, that reminds me. And he goes into verse 22, this huge, you know, beautiful verses about the family. He says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. So he's talking about being thankful, and it almost seems as he's thinking about being thankful, he thinks, and by the way, since I'm on the subject of being thankful, let me just take a few moments to talk about your family. Now, here's why it's not just a coincidence. Go back with me to Colossians, chapter number 3. Remember where we started? Now, keep your finger in Ephesians 5, because we're coming right back to it, okay? Keep your finger in Ephesians 5. Look at Colossians, chapter number 3. Look at verse 15. Look at verse 15. Same thing. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Remember how I talked right before when we started the service? I was talking about how in the bulletin, that verse there in Psalms, being thankful and singing go hand in hand. Do you see that? I know what I'm talking about. Look at verse 17. And whatsoever ye do in the word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. So he's talking about this subject about being thankful. Look at verse 18. Isn't this beautiful? He says, and while I'm on the subject about being thankful, that reminds me. Let me talk about your family here for a second. Verse 18. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in the thing, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. You say, what is he talking about? Go back to Ephesians. Here's what you got to understand. It seems like this. When Paul is talking about being thankful, it seems to bring his mind to the subject of family. You say, why? Because you ought to be thankful for your family.
Amen.
Be thankful for your family. Be thankful for the family that given you.
Amen.
You know, you shouldn't complain about your family. You ought to be thankful. This Thanksgiving, you ought to be thankful for your family.
Amen.
You say, Pastor, you don't understand. Trust me, I understand. Ask my wife. She makes sure I understand. You say, my husband is dirty, and he smells bad, and he's short, and he... No, wait. My wife doesn't say that. My husband, he doesn't make a lot. You know, women, let me tell you something. Just be thankful for your husband. I listen to... Some women complain about, my husband works so much, he's never home, And then there's other women that say, my husband doesn't work at all, he's always home, I want him to leave, The grass is always greener on the other side. Just be thankful for your family.
Amen.
Be thankful. We don't understand my wife. She does this, and she does that, and she, she picks on me, and she beats me up. Hey, just be thankful. Be thankful for your wife. Be thankful for your husband. Be thankful for your kids. Say, my kids, they're rebellious, and they don't do anything, and they're lazy. Hey, well, hey, you're the one who raised them. Be thankful. Be thankful for your family. You gotta be thankful for your kid. You gotta be thankful. No one forced you to marry that person. No, as far as I know, no one, they didn't have like a rifle there saying, say I do. Or maybe if you got her pregnant, but then, hey, you deserve that. No. But I'm here to tell you something. You gotta be thankful for your family. You gotta thank God for your family.
Amen.
Thank God for your wife. Thank God for your kids. Thank God for everyone. Be thankful. You got something to be thankful about. Let me show you a verse. Go back. Go. Keep your finger there in Ephesians, because we're coming right back to it. But go with me to Psalms. Ephesians. But go with me to Psalm 6. Quickly. Psalm 6. Psalm 6. Look what the Bible says in verse 5. Psalm 6, 5. Look what it says. Psalm 6, 5. For in death there is no remembrance of thee. In the grave, look what it says. Who shall give thee thanks? Now the verse is directed towards the person who's dead. He says, look, in death no one's going to give you thanks. But here's what I want you to see from that verse. When someone's dead, you can't give them thanks. You understand that? When someone's dead, you can't give them thanks. My dad tells me the story. He tells me the story when he was... You can go back to Ephesians. He tells me the story, when he was growing up, he had... I don't even know how many siblings he had. He had a lot of siblings. And they all ran off and did their things, And he was, either the youngest one or one. That tells you how much I know about him. He had a lot of siblings, all right? But he'd work, he was a young man, still single. And he would work, and he'd work, and he would come home, and he would give his check to his mom. Because his mom wasn't able to work, and he took care of her financially. And his mom, he's a grown man. I mean, he's like 19, 20, for whatever that's worth, grown man. And he would give her his paycheck. She would pay her bills, take care of things, and she would give him back money that he could spend. And he honored his mom that way. None of the other siblings did that. None of the other siblings took care of their mom. Whatever. Years later, mom dies. She gets married, has kids, we moved here to the United States. Years later, when I'm like 10 years old, we go to Venezuela where I was born, vacation, visiting, whatever. And his brother says to him, hey, I was thinking while you're here, we can go get this big bouquet of flowers and this and that. And we go to mom's grave and put that there. And my dad, we were only there for a few weeks. And he had some business to take care of himself. He said, and where we were was with my mom's family, which was a few hours away from where her grave was. And he said, I don't think my schedule's going to allow me to get out, to be able to do that. And his brother got all mad. I can't believe you want to go see your brother. And this is what my dad told me. He said, here's a lesson you got to learn from this. It's nice to go put flowers on me. He's like, my mom's not there. He's like, my mom's safe. She's a Christian. She's in heaven. All that's there is an empty corpse. He said, but you know what the funny thing is? Is while your mom's alive, you don't want to take care of her. While your mom's alive, you don't want to be thankful. While your mom, once she's dead, yeah, go spend all the money you want. Grab all the flowers you want. Put everything in there you want. But you know what? Once they're dead, your opportunity is gone. My dad said, I don't feel bad about spending 8 hours on a bus going to see some gravesite. Because when she was alive, I made sure she knew I loved her. I made sure she knew I thanked her. I made sure she knew that she was appreciated. Let me tell you something. You better be thankful for your family. Because you might not have them all the time.
Amen.
You gotta look at your mom and say, hey, mom, I love you. Thank you. You gotta look at your dad and say, hey, dad, I love you. Thank you. You gotta look at your kids and say, hey, kid, I love you. I'm thankful for you. I care about you. Because when they're gone, you can spend all the money you want to buy. it's done. You know, we talked about this a few weeks ago. We were talking about Pastor Mark Lewis' wife passed away. And you know, when his wife died, the number one thing I heard from people that knew her, this was, and it's not a bad thing, we felt this way. But the one number one thing that was like, I wish I had spent more time with her. I wish I would have appreciated her more. I wish I would have told her that I appreciated. And you know, here's the thing. Once someone's dead, it's too late. But while you have them with you, you ought to be thankful. And there's no better day than Thanksgiving to look at someone and say, hey, you know what? I'm thankful for you. I appreciate you. I'm glad you're part of my life. I hope nobody leaves this morning thinking, well, I don't have anything to be thankful for this Thanksgiving. I gave you a whole lot of things, a whole lot of directions to take your thankfulness. We said number one. That was point number one. I got two more points, but they're not going to be that long, I promise. It's only 11:33. We're doing good. I said number one, the direction of thankfulness. Number two, I want to talk about the dampers to thankfulness. The dampers to thankfulness. You're there in Ephesians? Actually, you know what? Keep your finger in Ephesians or put your bulletin there or something because we're going to come back to it. But let's go to 2 Timothy. Go towards the right. Go past the book of Philippians. Past the book of Colossians. Past the book of 1 and 2 Thessalonians. Past 1 Timothy and go to 2 Timothy, chapter number 3. Look at verse 1. Second Timothy, chapter number 3. Look at verse number 1. We talked about the direction of thankfulness. Let's talk about the dampers to thankfulness. Because sometimes we're not thankful. And there's a reason why you're not thankful. Look at 2 Timothy chapter number 3. Look at verse 1. The Bible says, this know also, that in the last day perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Notice what it says. They will be lovers of their own selves. Covetous. Boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, look at the next, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. If you read up to that word unthankful, if you read those characteristics there, what does that remind you of? Lovers of their own selves, so they care more about themselves than others. Covetous, which is wanting something for yourself. Boasters, which is talking about bragging or showing off about yourself. Proud. That's what that word there identifies all of those traits. Proud. Arrogant. Blasphemers. Why would you blaspheme God if you think you're better than God? Disobedient to parents. Why would you be disobedient to your parents? If you don't feel like you need to honor your parents. If you feel like you're better than your parents, you disobey them. Unthankful. You know why people are unthankful today? Here's why. Pride. Pride. Pride dampers. Pride hinders. Pride stops our thankfulness. Because here's the action of being thankful. To be thankful for something is to understand that someone or something did something for you. And a proud person would not acknowledge that. Pride dampers thankfulness. Go with me to Romans chapter number 1. Romans chapter number 1. Romans chapter number 1. Look at verse 21. Romans chapter number 1. Look at verse 21. Look what it says. Romans chapter number 1. Look at verse 21. Do you appreciate the fact that at Very Baptist Church we preach a whole lot of Bible? You should. Romans chapter number 1, look at verse 21. Romans 1:21, look what it says. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. Look what it says. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. You know why they knew God, but they glorified Him not as God? Here's the number one thing. Pride. And they were unthankful because of it. You know, a proud heart and a proud spirit will stop you from being thankful. If you're not thankful this Thanksgiving, it's because you have a pride issue. Go with me to James chapter number 1. Towards the end of the New Testament. Right past the book of Hebrews. Right before the books of 1 and 2 Peter. James chapter number 1. Look at verse 17. James chapter 1, look at verse 17. Look what it says. every good gift. And every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of light, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. The Bible says every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of light. If you would understand that everything you have, every good gift, every blessing you've been given, came from God, you'd be thankful. But because you're proud, well, I bought that. I did that for myself. That's when you're unthankful. It's pride. We talked about the direction of your thankfulness. The dampers of your thankfulness are this, pride. Number two. Go with me to Philippians. Go back to Philippians chapter number 4. What dampers our thankfulness? What dampers our thankfulness? Philippians chapter number 4. Here's the biggest reason I believe people are unthankful in our country today. Here's what it is. Entitlement mentality. Entitlement mentality. Do you remember the quote we had in the bulletin? Dr. Jack Howes. Dr. Jack Howes lived, you know, preached in the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s. And this is what he said. He said, "The foundation of gratitude is the expectation of nothing." But you know what our society has raised today in America? We've raised a society that has an entitlement mentality. I personally call it the welfare mentality. We've raised a society of people who believe they are entitled to something. The government must pay my bills. The government must feed my children. The government must provide me health care. The government, look, we have a society, and I'm not against you if you're like that this way. I'm trying to tell you something. We've been brought up in a society that we feel like we're entitled. You know, there was a time in this country where people believed in hard work, when people believed you were given the rights of life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness. You are entitled to happiness. You are entitled to the pursuit of happiness. If you want to work, if you want to live right, if you want to do something, you could have those things, but you weren't entitled to it. My wife's pregnant right now. We don't have health insurance. Well, what are you going to do, Pastor? Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to work 12 hours every day, save a whole lot of money, and pay for it. I don't want Obama taking care of my wife. I married my wife. I'll take care of my wife. But we have this entitlement mentality where people just feel like they're entitled to something. Here's why they're not grateful. Because the foundation of gratitude is the expectation of nothing. But when you just expect it, then you're not grateful. Because you just take it for granted. That's why you're not grateful, this church. Because you just expect it. That's why you're not grateful about the Word of God, because it's just there. You just take it for granted. Look at Philippians chapter 4, look at verse 6. Look what it says. Philippians 4, 6. Look what it says. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication. Look what he's saying. He's saying, hey, when you go to God in prayer and supplication, you know, be careful for nothing. Does that remind you of Matthew where it says, you know, take no thought for tomorrow? Say, when you're going to God to ask Him for something, when you're going to God to, you know, put in a supplication, you want a request, look what He says. When you do that, do it with, look what it says, thanksgiving. He says, don't ask God for something without first being thankful for what He's already done. And He says, do it with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known unto God. He says, go to God with your request, but be thankful. Have you ever given something to someone and they didn't expect it? And you gave something and they were just so appreciative. Wow, I can't believe you do that. Wow. They're so thankful. But then you give something to someone else and they just feel like they're entitled to it. They don't even say thank you, they just take it. You say, that's how you come to God. Well, God, of course you got to provide me this house. Of course you got to provide me this and that. He says, no, no, no. When you're coming to God in prayer and supplication, you better come with a spirit of thanksgiving. Amen. He said, and when you're thankful for what God's given you, He says, let your request be made known unto God. Don't have an entitlement mentality. You know, I've seen that in ministry as a pastor. I see people come to our church and they'll, you know, we always have, I mean, we look for any excuse to have food around here. We have food and all sorts of things. And people come and they'll be like, wow, Miss Joanne, those cookies are so good. I'm not pointing anybody out. Because everybody's like, those, you know, and then she'll go out of her way, she'll make some, and they were so thankful for it. But I've literally seen people in our church, and I don't care. I could care less. But people are just, you know, we'll have something and they'll be like,
ha 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 ha. don't get bored of it.
But you know, here's the, you can care if you take the cookies, you can take the soda, take whatever you want. But here's the difference. Someone who's not expecting it is thankful. Someone who just feels entitled to it, that's for me. And I could care less. But having this attitude of entitlement, of I expect it, of it's mine, makes you unthankful. That's how children are. I want God. That's my kids. I want this. I want that. You know, children naturally aren't thankful. You got to teach them to be thankful. You got to teach them. Say thank you. Say thank you. I'm going to take it away. You know what I mean? You teach kids to be thankful. And mature Christians, I didn't write down the verse. I really wish I would have. But the Bible says that a mature Christian who's founded in the Word of God is a thankful Christian. You know why? Because just like immature children need to be taught to be thankful, immature Christians need to be taught to be thankful. That's why I'm preaching about it this morning. I'm trying to teach you to be thankful. We said number one, the direction of thankfulness. Number two, the dampers to thankfulness. Pride will damper. It'll hinder your thankfulness. Entitlement mentality will hinder when you just, well, people should take care of me. People should do this for me. People should. No one needs to do anything for you. That's why Paul was so thankful. Remember we read all those verses where he was thankful for people? Because he understood Titus doesn't have to serve you. It's a volunteer army. If you do something in our church, I mean, I'm always thankful. I'm thankful for Miss Hudson and Miss Carol doing that. You know, they didn't have to do that. The ladies' activity, they didn't have to take their time and prepare and do those things. They didn't, you know, we didn't pay them. So we're thankful. You got to be thankful for people. Be thankful for your family. But pride and entitlement mentality, though, that will damper your thankfulness. We said number one, the direction of thankfulness. Number two, the damper of thankfulness. Here's the last point. Number three, the demand of thankfulness. The demand of thankfulness. You're there. Go back to Ephesians 5. Hopefully you put a bulletin there or something. Ephesians 5, look at verse number 20. Ephesians 5, look at verse number 20. Look what it says. Look what it says. Giving thanks always, look what it says, for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, giving thanks always, look what it says, for all things. That word all there, that means everything. See, it's easy to give thanks when you got the job. Hey, praise God. It's easy to give thanks when you got that raise. Praise God. It's easy to give thanks when you got that house. Man, amen. Thank you, God. It's easy to give thanks, you know, when you got that car, when you got that vacation, when your kids are healthy, when everything's going, your marriage is going good. But you know the Bible says you got to be thankful always for all things. Say, so what about when my child is diagnosed with cancer? Gotta be thankful. Always. For all things. It's not a choice. It's a demand. It's a command. God expects you to be thankful. Being thankful is not something we do. It's something we live. It's not something we do on Thanksgiving. It's a way of life. God says, the Bible says, be thankful. What's that verse? 20. Giving thanks always for all things. So when you lose the job, be thankful. When you get the job, be thankful. But when you lose the job, be thankful. When you get the raise, be thankful. But when you lose over the raise and you don't get the raise, be thankful. When your kids are healthy, be thankful. When your kids are sick, be thankful. When you're healthy, be thankful. When you're sick, be thankful. When you're going through trials and tribulations and struggle. When your marriage is falling apart. When you don't know what to do. You know what you can always do? Here's this. Be thankful.
Amen.
In all things. Always. That's what the Bible says. Go meet real quickly Job. I love the story of Job. Job, look at Job chapter number 1. I won't take too long to talk about Job, but you know the story of Job, hopefully. Job was a very rich man, very wealthy man, very righteous man. And in one day, God allowed Satan, the devil, to put him through struggles. In one day, Job lost all his riches. He lost all his business. And he lost all his children. They all died. Lost everything he had in one day. And the Bible tells us the messengers came one after another after another. The next one bearing worse news than the first one. The first one came and says, you lost all your cattle. Oh, man. The next one, Raiders took everything else. Oh, man. The next thing, you know, and then the last one, your kids are all dead. They were having dinner together. They were having fun together and, you know, whatever. And they all died. And he lost everything. One after the other, after the other, after the other. But look at what Job said. I love this. Job chapter 1, look at verse 20. Some of my favorite verses in the Bible. Bible says, then Job arose. Could you imagine that? Could you imagine hearing that? Think about your family. Think about your job. Think about, what if somebody came to you and said, hey, you know that job? Yeah, you're fired. And you know your house? It burnt down. And you know your cars? They got stolen. And you know your bank account? Well, you know, Wall Street and, you know, identity theft, you lost it all. And you know your kids? They're all dead. Can you imagine that? After just one, after the other, after the other. Look what it says. Then Job arose, after hearing this, and rent his mantle. He ripped his clothes. This is something they would do in the Old Testament when they were sad. And shaved his head, and fell down upon the ground, and put his fist up to God and said, God, why are you doing this? Is that what it said? And worshipped, and look what it says, verse 21. I love this verse. And said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. Hither the Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You know what Job was saying? He was saying, I came to this earth with nothing. I came to this earth with no money, with no job, with no possessions, with no children. I came naked, I didn't even have clothes on. He said, the Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. And he said, blessed be the name of the Lord. You know what he was saying? He was saying, I'm thankful in the good time. I'm thankful in the right time. And I'm also thankful always, all the time, for everything.
Amen.
Verse 22, in all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. How would you react? Would you get up at your wife's funeral, at your son's funeral, and say, God, thank you? I couldn't do that. See, that's where real Christianity hits the road, meets the road. That's real Christianity. That goes past bringing your Bible to Sunday morning church. It's a little different. A life of thankfulness. Go, you're there in Job. Look at Job 2. Look at verse 9. Job 2, look at verse 9. We rag on Job's wife a lot. We call her mean names and stuff. But you gotta understand, Job's wife, she just lost all her possessions and all her children. She's going through the same thing. So we ought not be too hard on her. But look at verse 9. It says, then said his wife unto him, does thou still retain thine integrity? He said, curse God and die. Not necessarily being the most encouraging, is she?
Mm-hmm.
Look at verse 10. But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. He says, what? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? And all this did not Job sin with his lips. You know what Job was saying to his wife? He was saying, hey, I didn't hear you complaining when things were good. He said, what? What am I hearing you say? Shall we receive good at the hand of the Lord and not evil? You know what Job is demonstrating? A life of gratitude. A life of thankfulness. You know what Job is illustrating for us? He doesn't have this entitlement. He doesn't believe that he's entitled to riches. He's not entitled to wealth. He's not entitled to possessions. He doesn't even believe he's entitled to children. He says, God gave me those children. If he wants to take them away, blessed be the name of the Lord. Being thankful is a way of life. Go back with me to Colossians. We're done right here. This is it. Colossians chapter number 3 is where we started. I love this quote. I've heard this quote my entire life. I actually heard this quote recently from some of you, and I like it. I like this quote. God is good all the time. Well, even when life's not good, God is still good. Look at Colossians chapter number 3. Look at verse 15. Last verse we'll look at. We're done. Colossians chapter number 3. Look at verse 15. Look what it says. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body. Look what it says. And be ye thankful. I want you to see how that phrase is structured. It's not a question. It's not a suggestion. It's a command. He's not saying it'd be a good thing for you to be thankful. He's saying be ye thankful. He's commanding you to be thankful. Say, thankful for what? Got a whole lot of things to be thankful for. Always, in all things, be thankful. Be ye thankful. It's not a choice. God commands us to live a life of thankfulness. And I want to encourage you this Thanksgiving, before you rip into that turkey, stuffed with a duck, stuffed with a chicken, or whatever you're doing, you just take a few moments to just pray and thank God for that meal. You maybe just take a few moments. Maybe just get away on that Thursday when we're supposed to be thanking, being thankful. Maybe just turn off that television and maybe just get away, get alone for a few minutes. And just say, God, you know, I just want to thank you for all the good things you've done for me.
Amen.
For all the blessings you've given me. The Bible says, be ye thankful. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Dear Father, Lord, we love you so much. Thank you for our church, Father. And I ask you to help us, Lord, especially as this Thanksgiving holiday is upon us, that you'd help all of us to go into it with an attitude of thankfulness. And to understand that being thankful is not something we do, it's something we live. It's a way of life. We love you, Father. Thank you. In your precious name I pray. Amen.